Jill Anderson's a botanist and plant ecologist and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods right now. Welcome back, Jill.
Hi.
Well, we've occasionally talked from time to time about tree bark, but apparently bark is once again on your mind.
It is. I'm getting kind of predictable, maybe. I can't explain exactly why, except that this time of year, I think of as having its own special palette, just like every season does. You know, we have our fall palette when there's all these, you know, bright and vibrant colors and a total shift from the green palette of summer. And tree bark, to me, really stands out at this time of year. Because, again, we don't have this wash of green or other colors to distract us visually. And I came across, this is a while ago, a great phrase, the language of bark. And I just thought that was so apropos of my experience with bark, because it's a visual thing. The characteristics of bark really can help us identify what we're looking at, particularly when the leaves are down. But sometimes, too, when we're in a thick forest and I can't really see the tops of the trees, I can't really see the leaves very well, I'm, you know, looking at what's right in front of me at my eye level, and that's typically on a larger tree, the bark. So bark can be very helpful in helping me figure out what I'm looking at and tell a lot about the tree's age and what conditions it's been growing in. So this idea of this phrase, language of bark, I just love that, and because it has that visual idea of telling us something through our eyes. But also for me, I think of the language of bark for me is this very tactile sense involved. So when I feel the bark, am I feeling deep furrows, or are they shallow? Am I feeling steep, craggy ridges, or very uniform, kind of smooth ridges? Am I feeling just a very smooth bark with little bumps on it, for instance, like the blisters on a balsam fir? So there's a tactile sense to it, too. So it's also that the idea of we can read a language in Braille, right, if we're skilled at it. So it's got both that visual and tactile aspect to it. And it turns out that bark is, of course, essential to trees and very distinctive from one tree to the next. If you think about color of bark, the characteristics I already mentioned, like furrowed or not, are the furrows continuous or are they discontinuous? Is there a particular pattern that the ridges or furrows make? Is the bark flaky or isn't it? So, and if it is flaky, well, what are the characteristics of those flakes? So think about a red pine mature tree. It has a flaky bark, right? But if you felt that those flakes, they would feel pretty smooth. You know, you can run your hand up or down a red pine without necessarily feeling really rough or breaking flakes off. Whereas an old black spruce tree also has flaky bark, but that feels much rougher. You can't just easily run your hand up and down. So even within a category like flakiness, there's size of flakes, looseness of flakes. There's all these, you know, individual characteristics that if you put them into combinations can really be very distinctive to each individual species of tree. And over the life of a tree, the bark can change. So
I was going to mention that some trees do change considerably as they age, and some don't seem to be as much. I mean, you just mentioned red pine, and red pine doesn't seem to get as craggy as some of the other conifers, and certainly not like some of the deciduous trees.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, yeah. Well, trees at certain times of their lives, when they're growing, their diameters are growing faster. Well, it isn't advantageous to have some really thick, wicked bark, right?
Yeah, I get it.
You know, that could be. So But once you get to be a mature tree, then it's worth having that investment. Say you're a white pine, it's worth having that investment in that thick bark, because that's going to protect you from a common phenomena in your environment that you've become adapted to as a species, which is fire. And we know that that thick bark on big white pines is very resistant to burning and resistant to the heat. That is really what can kill a tree, even if it's not directly exposed to fire. So, you know, so it's a trade-off for the species. Sure, the young trees are more susceptible than to fire, but you've got a lot more investment once you've grown to the size where you have that craggy bark and you're producing a lot of seed. So in terms of the long-term success of the species, it's much more useful to have that big craggy bark.
What about disease or host for other plants or life?
Life.
We'll answer that question in the second part of this Northwoods Naturalist on the Language of Bark next time.